Tonight's shir is a review of Chazar shir that I gave on Sukkos, and the title of the shir is The Idiot Who is Putter. So tonight, I wanted to take up the idea of Kol HaPutter Midavar Ve'Oseu Nikra Hedyot. There's a principle that in situations where people are putter, and yet they still do the mitzvah that they're putter from, there are situations where they're called a hedyot. So just to start the shir off, a hedyot doesn't necessarily mean an idiot, even though it sounds like idiot, but hedyot means inferior, like a kohen hedyot relative to a kohen gadol. So Chazal, they criticize a person who does a mitzvah when they're putter. So the question is, in what situations is a person criticized for doing a mitzvah when they're putter, and in what situations is it appropriate for a person to still do a mitzvah despite the fact that they're putter? For example, women who are putter from mitzvah seseh she'azman grama, are they nikra hedyot if they do a mitzvah seseh she'azman grama? So that would be one question. But there are situations where people are putter from mitzvahs, and yet there still is a kiyum, an idea of a person fulfilling the mitzvah. So in what situations do we say this principle that a person who is putter and does the mitzvah anyways is a hedyot? And that's really the topic of the shir tonight. And it's not just a sukkos shir, because the idea presents itself in many different ways, as we'll see in the different rishonim that we'll quote in the shir tonight. So I wanted to start with the halacha in sukkah. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Sukkah, Simen Tuf Reish Lamentes, starts as follows. Hayayashin v'yardu geshamim balayla, v'nechnas l'soch habayis, u'pasku ha-geshamim. So if a person is sleeping in the sukkah, and it rains, and then the person goes into their house, and the rain stops. Ein matrichin oso lachzor l'sukkah kol osa halayla. We don't make the person go back into the sukkah that whole night. We let the person sleep in their comfortable bed. Ella yashin beveso ad sheyale amud hashachar. So rather, a person should stay in their own bed until dawn. And the Ramah says, v'yeir mishnaso, and you wake up from your sleep, or when you wake up from your sleep. Mishu yashin besukah v'yardu geshamim, ein sarach l'shar b'chdei shizkalkel hatavshil. So if a person's sleeping in the sukkah and it starts raining, you don't have to wait till the shear, the normal shear, where the rain would destroy your food, takes place to leave the sukkah. D'b'geshamim u'atim havitzar lishan sham. Even a little bit of rain is considered tsar, pain for a person sleeping in their sukkah. So now the Ramah brings in this concept that if a person is putter from the sukkah and yet they don't leave, they don't get a schar, and not only do they not get a schar, but they're called hedyotos. They're criticized by Chazal. And when you leave the sukkah, you shouldn't leave it in a rebellious way, but rather you should leave it humbly, as if you were pouring a cup for your master, and the master spilled it in your face. So the Ramah quotes this principle that kol ha-patur midavar ve'oseu nikra hedyot. So the question is, why is the sukkah the paradigm of this idea that if you're putter from this mitzvah sukkah, you should really leave and you shouldn't stay in the sukkah? Why don't we say that you should try to pull it out and you should sit in the sukkah even though it's raining, or sleep in the sukkah even though it's raining? So what exactly is the concept? So there are very different ways of explaining this, and at the end of the shir, hopefully we'll put it all together. But the shir is categorizing the different approaches to this question. And the first approach I want to take is based on the Bir Halacha. So the Bir Halacha in source number 2 says, Hedyotos, he says, Ein b'mishnah bura v'chasav b'sefer b'dikurei Yaakov, nirali d'mal d'arminan she'enu ela maisa hedyotos v'enu mekabel schar, zedavka k'shapater b'eis ha'yeshiva. So he says, the Bir Halacha, he quotes different svarim, and he says that you're only considered a hedyot in the time of your yeshiva. Kegon shemitzdayer, for example, you're sitting out in the sukkah and it starts raining or there are bees. Uchedoma, and similar, uveprat begeshamim kevon shehem keshvichas kos alpanav. And it uses the specifics of rain because that's similar to the master spilling the cup in the face of the servant. Haralo she'eno rotza bavodaso, it's a statement on the part of the master, i.e. Hashem, that he doesn't want your avoda in this situation. V'hu rotze lachof rabo l'avdo, And yet the servant who sits in the sukkah, despite the fact that it's raining, is trying to force his servitude on the master. She'ein zeh derech eretz, it's inappropriate. Aval misha pater misham tircha lachzu l'sukkah. But let's say a person goes inside, and really they don't have to go back in the out in the sukkah if the rain stops. Kegon bepasku gisham belaila, o beemtzes hugaso, o beholeich l'sukkos chavero, or you're not chayav to go to your friend's sukkah if you don't have one. Lizeh yesh kibul schar alav. Even though you're pater, you still get schar if you're matriach to go back into the sukkah or go to your friend's sukkah. Delo gara mishosem mayim besukkah. It's not any worse than drinking water in the sukkah. Damrinan harizem meshubach. We say that if a person is, it's really a kiyum for a person to eat and drink everything in the sukkah. Afshe pater min adin. Even though technically you only have to eat mizonos hamotzi in the sukkah, you're pater from drinking water. Nevertheless, you're considered a better person. It's a kiyum in sukkah if you do everything in sukkah, in the sukkah. V'chein yirali. V'chol shekein zeh shebishas yeshiva mekayim mitzvah sukkah karoi, rak shelech achila lo yeh mechuyav leilech l'sham. And certainly, if you're establishing, fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah properly, rather, lech achila, you don't have to go to a friend's house. V'chein gam hagos mamino lo kosov rak kol apater min hasukkah v'inu yotzeh. He only says that if a person's pater and he doesn't leave, demashmo shebe isa shivaso pater. Sounds like if you're sitting in the sukkah and you're mitzdayer and you don't leave, then you're a head yod. Ad kan lashono. Va'ayin lekaman besimon tafresh mem sif dalad ba'agag mashka saf nusham b'shem machay adam inin holi chasukos chavera. So the Bir Lacha says that in any case where you're in the maisa yeshiva and you're pater because you're mitzdayer, and the case is that's brought down is by rain, but it could be any other patur, because of mitzdar, if you remain in the sukkah, in that case, you're criticized by Chazal. And he gives this example of that it's as if Hashem is saying, I don't want your servitude, and you're forcing your servitude on the master. So the question is, what is, can we explain the principle based on this Bir Halacha of Kol Ose Davar, Kol Patrimi Davar Veosu Nikra Hedyot, in what situations, according to the Bir Halacha, is that the case, and how does it apply to sukkah? So the Bir Halacha isn't just making up the principle that it's as if the Rebbe is spilling the water in your face. It's actually based on a Mishnah, Gemara, Rashi. So if you look at the Mishnah in Tainus, in source number 3 on the source sheets, the Mishnah says, Me'imasai maskirin gevuros geshamim. The Mishnah says, when do we start mentioning Mashiv Aruch Amir Degeshem? Rebbe Eliezer Omer Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. So Rebbe Eliezer says, from the first day of Sukkos. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Miyom Tova Acharon Shel Chag, but Rabbi Yeshua holds the way we do it, which is the last day of the Chag. We do it on Shmini Atzeres. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, Ahol Ve'ena Geshamim El Siman Klal B'Chag, Lamahu Maskir. So Rabbi Yeshua asks Rabbi Eliezer, since asking for rain, or rain itself, is a sign of a curse, why would you mention it in the beginning of the Chag? So Rashi, on that idea, explains in source number 4, Siman Klal B'Chagin, so when you're allowed to leave the sukkah, when the food gets ruined, it's the parable is to a servant who's serving his master and pouring water or pouring a drink, and the master is pouring it back in the face. I don't want your shimush, your servitude, klomar. When the rain falls into the sukkah, everyone leaves. It appears that Hashem doesn't want us to serve him. So the kasha that Rabbi Yeshua is asking is, why would you ask for this situation to occur where it rains on sukkos and everybody will leave the sukkah, implying that Hashem doesn't want us to sit in the sukkah? It looks like you're davening for rain on the chag itself. So what do we see from this idea, this concept? So maybe just to summarize the Bir Halacha and try to define what he's saying, it sounds like he's saying, when are you considered a hedyot, when you do something you're pater, when there's an opposing element that exists in Chazal or in the Torah, and you believe that you're following the Ratzon Hashem by staying in the sukkah, for example. But really, you see from Chazal, the way Chazal view rain in the sukkah is, and the way we're supposed to view it, is as if Hashem doesn't want us to sit in the sukkah. So now when you sit in the sukkah and you force yourself to sit in the sukkah, you're not really being a chassid. You're not being extra righteous in that you're actually going against the Ratzon Hashem, which is expressed by Chazal. So the first idea is that when are you considered a hedyot, when you're pater? When there's an opposing element, when there's an idea, a philosophical idea, that really demands that you don't sit in the sukkah, that you don't do the mitzvah. So there's different. The difference is that sometimes you're pater, and there's no element in the Torah that's telling you, dafka, don't do this. But there are other times where you're pater, and not only are you pater, and you're not chayiv to do it, but there's actually a flaw in you doing it. And you don't realize the flaw. You think that you're really following the Ratzon Hashem, like in this situation, by sitting in the sukkah, but Chazal want you to view the rain in the sukkah in a certain way, and you're really opposing the proper perspective that we're supposed to have when it rains in the sukkah. So the first concept that I wanted to express in the shir is that you're a hedyot because of the fact that you think that you're fulfilling the will of Hashem, but really you're really going against the will of Hashem because Chazal want us to view rain in the sukkah as if Hashem doesn't want our shimush. So we're really, when you sit in the sukkah and you force yourself to sit in the sukkah, you're really going against the Ratzon Hashem, the way that Chazal want us to perceive it. So that's the first idea. But we also see this concept brought out in the Rishonim in different places, and I think that there are different Rishonim that we can categorize in a somewhat similar fashion. So the real source for this idea is the Yerushalmi, and it's tied to the concept of a chassan being pater from Kriyas Shema on his wedding night. So the in source number 5, the Yerushalmi says, Chassan imrotza likros es shema belaila rishon kore. The Mishnah says that the first shita, the Tanakama of the Mishnah, holds that if a chassan wants to read Kriyas Shema on the night of his wedding, he's allowed to. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer lo kol arotza litol es hashem yitol. He says not anybody who wants to take the name is allowed to. So there's a machlokes in the Mishnah whether a chassan is allowed to read Kriyas Shema, or he shouldn't, because he's pater. So if you look in the Gemara of Yerushalmi, it says in source number 6, V'tani chizkia kol mishu pater midavar ve'oseo nikra hedyot. So he says that anybody who does something that they're pater from is called a hedyot. And he tries to tie this into the Mishnah in terms of a chassan forcing himself to read Kriyas Shema. He's really a hedyot. So Amar Lei v'hataninan chassan pater chassan imrotze. So the kasha is that the first shita in the Mishnah maintains that a chassan is allowed to. So you see that you're not a hedyot. So Amar Lei v'lo d'Rabban Gamliel hi Amar Lei yachil ana pasak Rabban Gamliel d'Rabban Gamliel Amar eini shomei alechem uvatal menu malchus shemayim. So he says that he really holds like Rabban Gamliel. He solves this by holding like Rabban Gamliel, who maintains that the only reason why you're allowed to say Kriyas Shema, he's the end shita, is because of the fact that it's O Malchus Shemayim. But in general, if you're putter, you're really not supposed to do it, and if you do it, you're considered a hedyot, and that's the principle of Chizkia. So if you look in the Pneim Nosha, on this piece in source number 7, he explains the Shakla Vitaria in the Gemara. It says, V'hatanina, Amar Lei, V'hatanina, Chasen Pater, Chasen Imrotze, Klomar, De'afa Pisha Shaninu, Sha Chasen Pater, Mekrishma, Afilu Hacha, Shana Rabbi Khan in Rotza Likros Kore, Alma Delo Nikra Hedyo, Shemachner Latzma Bedavershu Pater Min Adin. So we see from the Mishnah that the fact that a chassan is allowed to read it, therefore, according to Rabbi, you're not really a hedyot if you do it, because why would he endorse that? Why would he allow it if you were a hedyot? So Amar Le, Yachalana Pasar Kramagamiel, the Haki Garaslav Parakama de Shabbos, Vira Magamiel, he Amar Le Kama, Klomar, de Masnisan de Hacha, Kramagamiel Asya. So he says that the Mishnah over here is like Rabban Gamliel, the lo ratza liftor atma mekriyas shema kemoshe heishev letalmidav eini shomea ushani kriyas shema de isbe kabbalas malchus shemayim. So like I said, in explaining the Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel holds that the only exception to this putter rule is really kriyas shema because of the fact that it's kabbalas malchus shemayim. But in general, if you're putter and you do something according to Chizkiyah, you're considered a hedyot. So this idea is expressed in the Rishonim in different ways and explained by the Rishonim in different ways. So I want to try to understand this Gemara because it seems kind of broad, the Gemara, as to when, again, the same question, when are you considered a hedyot? Is it in every situation or only in certain situations? So we already saw the Bir Halacha's idea, his Svara, which is that it's only in situations where we really think that we're following the Ratzon Hashem, but the Ratzon is opposite of the idea of fulfilling this mitzvah. It's telling us to not do the mitzvah. But there are other Rishonim, the Mordechai, for example, and the Rambam, who have a different approach. So the Mordechai, in source number 8, is on the Bavli and Brachos, and he brings down this principle. So we'll read through the Mordechai and the Rambam, and I think that the Rambam and the Mordechai fit into a category of Svara in terms of how to explain the principle of Kol HaPater Midavar Veoseu Nikra Hedyo. So the Mordechai in source number 8 says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Sheyirugilin Likros Kriyashma Kodim Tfila, Kemosha Anu Korin Ashrei. So Rabbeinu Tam said that they used to read Kriyashma before davening, like Ashrei. V'anan Hechi Karinan Kriyashma V'vesak Neses Mibod Yom. How can we read Kriyashma in the daytime that they used to read Kriyashma before nighttime? So how was it possible? So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Delo Kaimelon Kemas Nisan Demishasha Kwanam Nechnasin. We don't hold that you can only read Krishma at night. Ela kaimelon kahani tonight, the pligia lab of Raisa, begemara, mishasha kiddush ayom, mishasha bnei adam nechnasin lechol piton, ba'arve shapsos. So rather, we hold, like the Tana holds, that when are you allowed to read Krishma at night? And the time that you make kiddush, or the time that people go in to eat their bread on Erev Shabbos, v'hainu mibod yom, which is mibod yom, it's not nighttime. Begam kaimelon kor v'yehuda, we also hold that plaga mincha, which is a zman in the afternoon and above, is considered laila technically. It's an hour and 15 minutes before tzeis. So the Rav Yah supports Rabbeinu Tam. The chasav hamaachrim likro kriyashma olispal belaila mechzik yura, and he says that a person who specifically demands that he has to read Krishma at night is Mechzik Yura. He says, Shekola Osa Davar Sheinu Tzarech Nikar Hedyot Alayim Kein Horogal Bepricious Gambishar Dvarim. He says a person who does something that they don't have to is considered a Hedyot, which is the same principle as Cheskia, unless they normally act in this way and around other things as well. So what is the concept according to the Mordechai? The Mordechai says that the problem of Kol HaPater Midavar Veoseu Nikra Hedyot is that it's Mechzik Yura, that you appear to the public as if you're haughty, and you look as if you're trying to outdo other people. And that's really when you're considered a Hedyot. You're considered a Hedyot when you do something that normal people don't do, and normal people, when they're Pater, don't do, and you do something that makes you look haughty. It's Mechzik Yura. It looks like you're haughty. So the Rambam has a similar approach. So I just wanted to look at the Rambam. The Rambam's on the Mishnah, Perish Mishnayos on Maseches Sota, and at the end of the Perish Mishnayos, at the end of the Mishnah itself, in source number 9, the Gemara talks about how there's a zechus for a woman who's a Sota if she did mitzvos, if she supported her husband and her children learning Torah. It could be that she's saved from the Mei Sota. So if you look at the end of the Mishnah, we don't have to read through the whole Mishnah. It says, Mikan Omer ben Azai, Chayav Adam, Melamed es Bito Torah, Shem Tishta, Teda, Shazuchus Tolala. So Ben Azai says that a person is Chayav to teach their daughter Torah. And you see this from the fact that if she's a Sota, if she's accused of cheating by her husband in a specific situation, she'll have a Zuchus that she can rely on. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol Melamed Bito Torah, Kilu Lomda Tiflos. So Rabbi Lozar, he says that anybody who teaches her daughter Torah, he argues, it's as if he's teaching her tiflus, triviality, or something that's trivial. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer wrote to Isha Bekav et tiflus metisha kavin uprishus. So Rabbi Yeshua, he explains that the reason why you shouldn't teach a woman Torah Shebaal Peh, that's what it's referring to, is because he says a woman would prefer less money and less stuff than to be close to her husband, rather than more stuff, more objects, and precious, and being separated from her husband. And I'm not sure what the criticism is, but it sounds like it's criticizing the personality of the woman vis-a-vis learning, which is a totally different share. I'm not going to take it up now. But the Mishnah goes on. He says, Hu haya omer, he used to say, chasid shote, so a chasid who's a shote, v'rasha arum, rasha who's naked, v'isha prusha, a woman who separates herself, umakos prushin, and a person who flogs himself, hare elu mechale olam. These people destroy the world. So what is a chasid shote? So the Rambam in the Perash Mishnayos explains what a chasid shote is. Amru b'talmud she'enyano ha'gzama b'zihiras v'dikduk ach'nema'es b'inei b'nei adam. It's a person who exaggerates in his zehiras, in his diligence and his specificity, to the point where he's disgusting in the eyes of people. The osam masim she'enu chayav b'hem, and this person does things that he's not chayav to do. Ukiilu amar shote b'chasiduso. It's as if he's dumb in his chasidus, in his righteousness. V'amru b'gemara shabbos yerushalmi kol mishu patur midaver ve'oseu nikra hedyot. And this is where he applies the principle that anybody who does something that they're really patur from is considered a hedyot. So we see that I believe the Rambam is similar to the Mordechai in the sense that the problem is that you're a chasid shote. The problem is that you're trying to look, the way that you appear to others is haughty, but it ends up being disgusting to other people. People are turned off by it. So when you do something that you're putter from, that you're not chayav in, that is something that others can see, and that comes off as if you're above them, as if you're this righteous person, this super from person. So that's when we say that it's called putter midaber ve'oseu nikra hedyot. So for example, if a person's sitting in the sukkah and it starts raining, and you insist on sitting in the sukkah despite the fact that you're putter, the Rambam would say, and the Mordechai, that that's mechzikiyura, that you're really putter, and you're just doing something that makes you look haughty in the eyes of others, that makes you try to look, or you're trying to look more from than others, and that's really inappropriate, and that's where we're criticized by Chazal. So the second approach to the idea of kol patur midaver ve'oseu nikra hedyot is, like the Rambam and the Mordechai, that it's really a problem in mechzikiyura. It's a problem that you appear haughty, and it's an idea in how you look to others, and that you have to understand that when you do something that you're not chayav in, and you're trying to look a certain way, when your motivation is to try to look a certain way, or in situations where it's clear that you look like you're more from, like you're haughty in front of others, so then you're a hedyot, because you really think that you're getting a perfection, but really you're creating a disdain amongst people towards you and towards the mitzvah. So really that's the problem. So that's the second approach. The third approach, I think, is expressed in the Ritva, the Meiri, and the Ramban. And they take a different approach to what the problem is over here. So if you look in the Ritva, they all take up the question about women. So why is it that women are allowed to do mitzvah seisha as man grama, even though they're pater? And why don't we say this principle, called pater midaver veoseo nikra hedyot, by a woman doing a mitzvah? So they give a different answer from the Rambam and the Bir Halacha, and their answer, we'll see inside, is different, takes a different approach. So if you look in the Ritva, in source number 11, he's talking about the question of whether a person who's mitzuvah, who's commanded in a mitzvah, is greater than the person who's ain't a mitzuvah. It's a classic question. So talking about, let's say, a woman doing a mitzvah, is she better than a man doing a mitzvah, philosophically? So the Gemara says, Pirshu Rabbeinu, sorry, the Ritva says, Pirshu Rabbeinu Zal, Tama Davar, Shezeh Satan Mekatrago, Kishahu Mitzuva, Vezeh Ein Satan Mekatrago, Lefum Tzara Agra. So he wants to say that the Gemara and Chazal explain that the person who's Mitzuva is greater because he has Yetzer Hara that tries to push him off from doing it, and he's commanded, but he doesn't want to do it. There's a part of a person that wants to rebel against being forced to do something, whereas the person who's not forced and he's not commanded, he doesn't have that same opposing force. V'rabinu agadol zar pirei sheh mitzvos einon lahanaos hakel yisbarach ha-mitzvah el zachusenu. So the Ritva says, and we all know this principle, that the mitzvos aren't for Hashem, they're for us. U'mishuhu mitzuveh kayem gzeres ha-melech. U'lefichach schara meruba yosir mizeh shelo kayem mitzvos ha-melech. So a person who's commanded gets a greater schar because he's really following the command of the melech. But even the Eina Mitzuvah gets a schar because he's deciding to follow the commands of Hashem, the deeds of Hashem. V'davko b'mitzvah shetziva Hashem Yisbarach la'achirim sheyesh lo b'hen ratzon. Aval ha'osem e'elav mitzvah shelo tzivza b'hem Torah klal. It's only the mitzvahs that you're commanded in. But if you make up mitzvahs, you just do mitzvahs that the Torah doesn't command you in at all, Zuhi Sha'amru, kol she'ena mitzuva bedavar ve'oseu nikra hedyot. That's what it says, that's what it means when it says that a person who does something that they're putter in is considered a hedyot. So he says that the Ritva says that when you do something that you're not chayiv in at all, there's no command at all, and you just make up a mitzvah, so that's when you're considered ka putter midavar ve'oseu nikra hedyot. It's only in a situation where there's no chayiv at all, It doesn't exist. It's as if you're creating something in the Torah that doesn't exist. And the Meiri says the same thing. If we skip, we don't have to do the whole Meiri, but he says in source number 13, "But Midrashos Amru Kol Apater Min Adavar VeOseu Nikraheva Hedyot." The davar zeh eino el bedavar shakok yotze bezeh ha'osa patra mimenu ve'eino davar shiyatze mimenu seichel o'musar o'silsel o'achnas leiv v'chiyotze bezeh ve'osa mimenu alatzo mitzvah. So when do we say this principle? According to the Meiri, it's when a person does something where there's no benefit at all. There's no musar, there's no silsel, there's no humility, there's nothing that comes about through doing this action. You're just making up an action. So in that case, that's called patra midavar ve'osa u'nikra hedyot. So what exactly is the problem with that? So the problem is, the Ramban explains a little bit further. So the Ramban takes up the question about women doing a mitzvah, and he says, "V'i kasha," he asks the kasha, "V'ha amrinam b'yushalmi kol osa davar shenu mitzuva bo nikra hedyot." So he asks the kasha, how can women do mitzvah sase shazman grama if we see that the Yushalmi calls a person who's potter a hedyot? Hasam she osa davar shenu mitzuva min haTorah klal. That's when a person does something where there's no obligation at all that exists in the Torah. In that situation, it's as if you're Mosif. Aval misha osem mitzvah set Torah ketiknan. If you do the mitzvah as it was commanded, afal pishlom nitztave hubahem, even though you're not mitztave in it, kegon nashem v'goyim mekabim aleim schar shukol derache darche noam v'chol nesivo seh shalom. You still get a schar because the Torah is peaceful and pleasant in all its ways. So the Ramban explains what the problem is, and I believe the Meiri and the Ritva take up the same idea. It seems like the issue of Kalapatra Midavar Veoseo Nikra Hedyot is in a situation where you don't do the mitzvah ketiknan, and it's Nira Kemosif. The problem is, it really fits under the category of Baal Tosif, that it looks like you're being Mosif onto the Torah, because the Torah doesn't command this at all in any way. You don't gain anything from it, like the Meiri says. You're not gaining any knowledge, any philosophy, any musar. So you're just making up something. So if you do that, so then the problem is that you're near a kemosif. It's as if you're mosif, you're adding an extra mitzvah on the Torah, bal tosif. So that's the problem. And just to tie it back into sukkah, the third possibility is that if you're sitting in a sukkah and it's raining and you demand to sit in the sukkah, it's as if you're being mosif on the mitzvah of sukkah. It's as if you're saying that sukkah is really a mitzvah. It's like not, it's no longer a teshuva kein to do anymore. That's not the nature of the mitzvah. You're being mosif onto the mitzvah. You're changing its essence by saying that it's really just to sit in there no matter what. And that's not the mitzvah. So when you do the mitzvah improperly in a situation where you're mitzdayer and you push through it, so it's near kemosif. It looks as if you're changing the structure of the mitzvah by you sitting in there when it's raining. It looks as if you're making the mitzvah into a new type of mitzvah, no longer a teshuva kein to duru, which is that you live in it the way you would live in your house, but rather you're changing the structure of the mitzvah. So the third svara is that when there's no source for something in the Torah and you're just doing it, but there's no philosophy, there's nothing gained by it. So, and in that situation, it's nira kemosif, and that's the problem of kol patra midavar ve'oseo nikra hedyot. So that's the third concept. And then the last idea I just wanted to express in this shir is the idea of Tosfos. So Tosfos explains by tefillin. So most of our tefillin is written the same way with something called sirtut. Sirtut means that the sofer inscribes little lines underneath where he writes. And you can see them on mezuzahs usually in the Torah. It's an indentation, a type of line underneath the words. But there's a halacha by tefillin, according to Tosfos, that you're not supposed to do sirtut by your tefillin. So if you look in Tosfos, in source number 15, it says, "V'omer Rabbi Tam, the tefillin lo by sirtut, al kol shita v'shita, aval osa sirtut achas lamala, v'chosev tachta, v'kama shitin." So the Rabbi Tam says that by tefillin, you're not supposed to do sirtut, this putting lines underneath the words, but rather you put a line on top and a line underneath all the words to keep them in the margins. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Ein L'Sarte Tefillin Al Kol Shita V'Shita, Ked Amar Al B'Yerushalmi B'Perek B'Mem Alikin, Kol Patra Midavar Ve'Oseu Nikra Hedyot. And then Rabbeinu Tam, he quotes this principle that you shouldn't put sirtut because there's no need. And if you do something where there's no chiyav, you're a hedyot. V'chein Mashma B'Akom Mitzraba, the Kamar Hasman Tefillin Ein Tzrichin Sirtut. And so too it's mashma in the Parak HaKometz Rabba that tefillin don't require sirta. So Rabbeinu Tam's bringing the idea of kol patur midavar ve'oseh nikra hedyot with regard to this concept, this halacha of sirtut. So the question is, why does it apply? What is his concept? What is this way of learning, this principle? So there's another Tosos in Menachos where he explains a little further. And he says, the Tosos is Menachos daf lamed beiz amed beiz, v'am Rabbeinu Tam, the Sefer Torah bai sirtut, mishum zek heli vanveyu aval tefillin de mechusin ba'or, lo ba'usirta to lo shayach b'hunoi. So he explains the reason why we require sirta by a Sefer Torah is because a Sefer Torah is uncovered. It's not covered. So people can see it. And we have a principle of Zekhi Livanveu. You want the print of the Sefer Torah to be beautiful. So if you have lines, you make sure that all the lines are straight and all the words and the print comes out beautifully. But fill-in, which are covered by boxes, there's no need of Zekhi Livanveu. There's no principle of Zekhi Livanveu. So what's the purpose of doing sirtut? It doesn't make any sense to do sirtut. So we see that the concept of Rabbeinu Tam of called Pater Midavar Ve'oseh Nikra Hedyot seems to apply to sirtut, and he explains further in Menachos that there's no need to do sirtut because nobody's going to see the parshios inside the boxes of the tefillin except for the sofer when he opens it up. So what is the concept according to this Tosos and Rabbeinu Tam? So I think that this is the last possibility, which is that when you just don't understand the basic idea, the basic concept of the mitzvah, that's the expression of called Pater Midavar Ve'oseh Nikra Hedyot. It's an expression of you're doing something that demonstrates a lack of understanding of the basics of the mitzvah. And for example, by sukkah. So the idea is Teshuvah Kein Tiduru. That's the most basic principle of sukkah. And if you sit in a sukkah and it's raining, why are you a hedyot? You're a hedyot because you just don't understand the most basic principle of living in the sukkah. It's a distortion of the most basic principle. So that's why you're a hedyot, you're inferior. It demonstrates a lack of understanding and knowledge of the most basic elements of the mitzvah. So that's when you're pater, called pater midavar ve'oseh nikra hedyot, is in a situation where it's clear that you're doing something that demonstrates a lack of understanding of the mitzvah, of the basics of the mitzvah. You don't understand zekhi livan ve'u, that doesn't apply here. And you don't understand the concept that noi doesn't apply because it's covered. That's a very basic, simple understanding of tefillin. So anybody who does something that they're putter from in a way where it expresses a lack of knowledge of the basics and the essence of the mitzvah, that person's a hedyot. It's a demonstration that the person's lacking, he's inferior. So that's the last idea. So just to summarize the concept, I think that there's four different approaches to how to understand it. And we'll take the sukkah case just to express each approach. So the first idea, it's the same case. A person's in the sukkah and it starts raining. So why should he stay? Why is it inappropriate for him to stay in the sukkah if he's in the middle of eating or sleeping and it's raining a lot? So there's four approaches. One is the bir halacha, which is that Chazal want us to look at rain in a certain way. They want us to look at rain as if it's Hashem telling us to leave. So we're a hedyot because we think we're following the Ratzon Hashem, but really we're supposed to view it opposite. So we're going against the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem does not want us to sit in the sukkah. So in those cases, in those situations, that's when you're a hedyot. The second idea is the Rambam and the Mordechai, that sitting in a sukkah when it's raining is just an expression of mechzik yura. It's just trying to show off that you're from, that you're willing to push it, you're willing to push through the pain. But that's really not the idea of mitzvos, and it's really a flaw that's expressed in you trying to fulfill this mitzvah when you're pater. So the second idea is that you're sitting in the sukkah and it's raining, and you sit in there, you're just trying to express, or you're just trying to show that you're from. That's hedyot. The third idea is the Ramban, the Ritva, the Meiri, that sitting in the sukkah when it's raining is an idea of mosif. It's nira kemosif. It looks like the idea of sukkah demands that you sit in the sukkah even if you're in pain, and that goes against the basic principle of teshuvah kein tiduru, which is, so when you sit in the sukkah, you're being nira kemosif. It's as if you're changing the structure. And the last concept is that it demonstrates a lack of understanding of sukkah. That when you sit in the sukkah and it's raining, it's just you're a hedyot, because you don't. If you understood the most basic principle of sukkah, that is teshuvah kein tiduru, then you wouldn't sit in the sukkah when you're pater. But the fact that you're sitting in the sukkah and you're pater, because it's raining, demonstrates a lack of understanding of the most basic, simplistic principle of the mitzvah. And in that situation, we say, kol patur midavar ve'oseyu Nikra Hedyot. So that's the end of the shir. Let's try to summarize the different approaches to this principle. All right, have a good night. Thank you.